Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
For the land of the free. And the home of the brave.
720 WGN. Our next guest has been singing at Ditka's for years. The world finally discovered him when he started singing the anthem for the Cubs, and that was Game 4 of the World Series. It is John Vincent.
That national anthem was like nails on a chalkboard.
Let me tell you something.
I sounded horrendous, and I'm not kidding. I sounded like, I wish I could swear, but I can't. I sounded like that.
I wanted to play that because you're at the World Series.
Yeah.
Singing for the Chicago Cubs.
Yes, my childhood team growing up and everything. Yeah, oh yeah.
I was excited for you so much, and yes, I just wanted you to paint a picture for me. You're walking out to do the anthem after the NLCS. I mean, that was, you were off the charts excited.
I was off the charts excited. Everything was happening. You know, it just was one thing after the other, and it was surreal, and it was just the moment didn't rush by, though. It was very, it just kind of went by nicely. So I was able to appreciate everything, getting the excitements of the, you know, the games and all that. But I had a horrendous cold after game 6 with that Dodgers game I did. So game 4, the anthem, I hate hearing my voice no matter what.
But a lot of people
that
do.
Game 4, yes, they do. a lot of people hate hearing mine, is what I'm saying. After that game 4 World Series one, I cannot. Oh, God, did I sound bad? I sounded really bad.
Do you remember the score of that game?
We lost.
Yeah.
We won the when I sang the against the Giants, and then the two games against the Dodgers against Kershaw. I was able to spend some time with Kershaw this past summer. He was such a great guy. And then we lost that game I did in the World Series, which
we lost game 4. That was the game I went to, and I had surgery, and I had a wheelchair, and I was in the handicap section, and you walked past me, and you stopped to talk to me, and you said, hold on a second, Eddie Vedder was tapping you on the shoulder.
Really?
Do you remember that moment?
I
was with my brother Dave, and I could barely stand up. I was in so much pain, but I had to be there.
I think, you know what I was doing, honestly, before going to do that anthem? I was in my suit, and I was standing in the shower in the locker room there, or one of the green rooms, and letting the steam hit me the whole time. So I'm fully dressed in the shower with my suit on because I was feeling like dog crap, and I was just hurting, and everything was so surreal. And if you look, I almost take a step back because I thought I was going to faint, and then I got the text from everybody that Lady Gaga text about me.
I wanted to ask you about
that. Boom, 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 boom. You know?
Lady Gaga was so moved by you singing the anthem that she tweeted something.
Yes, that was very, very kind of her.
I mean, how big was that?
For her to do that is incredible because I'm nobody, man. I'm nobody.
And
for her
you're to do somebody that, in Chicago.
I'm nobody. I am nobody. Just a guy from the South Side. I'm just a screw up from the South Side of Chicago whose parents were born in Italy and met here. And, you know, I was blessed that I got lucky. That's it.
And the Cubs win the series, and they say, John Vincent, of course he's going to get a ring. And you're wearing it right now.
Yeah.
That could go on my leg.
Yeah.
That's how big your paws are.
I mean, you know.
I mean, this thing is huge. Wow.
What they did, Mr. Crank Kenny, Mr. Ricketts, and the Cubs organization, and everybody there from Theo Epstein to, I mean, Joe Maddon. I've become good friends with Joe.
All right. Can I bring this up? Because I was at the home opener, the first game of the season, and it got rained out, and I was in the Cubs offices, and you walk out, and we start talking, and then Joe walks by.
Yeah.
And Joe stops, and he grabs you, and you guys kiss each other, and you whisper something to each other in your ears, and then he goes on his way.
Yeah.
When did you become such great friends with him?
It just started like, I'm going to say the first year he started managing there, I just started doing the anthem and then said hello to him. And then we just started talking more. And I don't know. It's just a connection. I think Joe is one of the, like, it's unbelievable how zen he is. I don't know if you watched the game today, and there was a terrible call on Schwarber. And so you see that pitch?
I was at my son's basketball tournament,
like,
but I heard about
catcher
it.
Catcher face mask high, and Schwarber, all these guys in the Cubs, like, and I sound like a homer saying this. Mm-hmm. These guys are really nice guys, from Rizzo to Bryant to Bias to all these guys. Like, and I've hung out with Schwarber, and just nice guys, really right. nice guys. And Joe manages, like, so zen-like. He is so zen-like. He's cool, Joe. And he got me so calm before game six. It's amazing. That I told him when we had dinner the other night, I'm like, you don't know how much an effect you have on me. Like, the way you go with life during the moment, living in the moment, not expecting so much. And he's humble. He's kind. His wife, Jay, is amazing. And that whole team and organization is like that. And I'm not kidding.
Really?
I'm not joking. I mean, it really is. And Joe, I just clicked with him. I just did. And I go to Pennsylvania, and I sing at his event in Hazleton. And he drove me around the town, and it's me and him in a Suburban. He's like, Johnny, this is where I grew up. This is the apartment. This is where my mom worked.
He never forgets his roots. That's what you love about Joe Madden.
That's what I love about Joe.
Yes.
I'm my mom and dad, born in Italy, met here. I grew up on the south side of Chicago by Archer and Cicero, and that's where I'm from. And that's Ronnie Coomer, who's the Cubs announcer.
Sure.
You know, I said to him when he was playing with the Cubs, I go, I know your grandmother. And he looks at me like I'm crazy because he was sitting with Coach Dicka. Mrs. Dicka, this is in 2002 or wherever he was playing. And I go, she makes the best upside-down pineapple cake in the world. And he goes, holy. He goes, you do know my grandmother. And I actually used to cut his grandmother's grass when I was a kid because she lived next to my Auntie Carmela and my Auntie Joseph.
Oh, that's Chicago, of course.
Right?
Of course you did.
By Midway.
Yeah. Yes, upside-down pineapple cake. No one makes that anymore. My mom still makes it. I love it.
Oh,
with
man.
The pineapples and how juicy it is.
Oh, yeah.
Singer John Vincent in studio with us. How long have you been at Ditka's?
17 years.
Jeez. How did you meet the coach?
I was a recruit in accounting and finance, and my sister Lisa says, Johnny, you kind of sound like Sinatra. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? She goes, why don't you try to sing? I'm like, you're nuts. You know, I got a job in accounting and finance. This is it. This is what my job's going to be. I didn't love it, but I loved the man I worked for, Doug Christensen at Chemical Personnel Search. I sang at his memorial 3 years ago. It was an inspiration to me. And he would talk to me because I suffer from depression, anxiety, and obsessive compulsive disorder. And he would spend time and talk to me and tell me about life and tell me about things. Like there's these people that come in my life that mean so much that I listen to. And he was one of them. Joe Madden's one of them. There are a few out there that just, you know, Marty Gatilla, who was one of the owners of Tavern on Rush, just passed away.
Yeah.
And Marty was just such a beautiful man. What a great man. And the things you can hear from these people and listen to. Anyways, going back to what I did, my sister says, why don't you try it? I started messing around at Rosebud, did another place. Ditka's had about four or five singers they would rotate through. Coach Ditka and Mrs. Ditka gave me a four-month deal. Then they gave me a year and then a lifetime.
They signed a lifetime deal.
Yeah.
I love it.
I got lucky.
Oh, my gosh. I love your posts on Facebook. And you love life. You cherish it. You really do.
I love life, and I struggle with life, though.
I think we all do.
Really happiness, but I get really, really down.
Well, I want to talk to you about that because I saw your segment on WGN Channel 9.
Yeah.
You were bullied as a kid, and you talk about how you went through anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And how do you deal with that? And first of all, I love the fact that you're talking about it because you're helping other people. I mean, there's somebody listening right now that's saying, God, I suffer from depression. I don't know where to turn. What do I do? Just start talking about it with people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
One of the things that, my mother and father say, you know, it's that old school Italian things, you know, you don't have to say everything. You know, it's like you want to be tough. You don't cry. You don't do this. You don't do that. You know, you don't show your emotion. I think that, especially in the world today, if we wear our emotions on our sleeves, then what are you going to attack me on? I already told you what my weakness is.
Right.
Is. So if you want to attack me on it, great. I already know I have that. Now, I'm 6'5", 300 pounds, and if I'm kind to somebody and I do something kind, people say, oh, he's a big teddy bear. My problem is if somebody's smaller, if a woman's kind, they see it sometimes as a sign of weakness, and I hate that. We should see kindness as compassion as the only way we should live.
I agree.
I'm far from perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm an a-hole many, many times, and I'm so far from perfect it's not even funny. But I do truly believe as I get older, the key to life is kindness, you know, and that's it. That's it. That's all we have. We're gonna be gone. In 100 years from now, me and you, nobody's gonna care. We're gone. It'll be a whole new set of people here. 100 years ago in this spot, on Michigan Avenue, it was a whole different set of people, a whole different set of problems.
You got to make a difference right now.
All there is now. There's right. no future. There's no past, because the past was the present moment when it was happening. And if we're lucky enough to get to the future, it's going to be the present moment when it gets here. So anything we could always do, if we're going to save money or lose weight or do this or whatever, it's always done in the present moment.
A great friend of mine, Billy Bush, who mm-hmm. has gone through the ringer yep. with everything, is a yep. very religious man. And yep. he always says to me, and he'll send me a text out of the blue, and he'll say, be anxious for nothing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I love that. Where did you get it? He goes, it's from the Bible. Be mm-hmm. anxious for nothing. Don't dwell on the past, because you're going to be angry. Don't look to the future. It's going to make you anxious. Live in the yeah. present. Live in the now. Yeah. And one of the things that you're doing, talking about being bullied as a kid and depression, is you're talking to kids. And you were at Homer Glen Junior High?
I was at Homer Glen Junior High, and I was at Gooding's Grove and Homer Glen, both schools that my nieces went to, and my niece, you know, I went there and spoke to both schools, one right after the other.
And there was a kid that got up and said something to you.
There was a kid that got up, and I thought he was going to say, and it took so much guts, I thought he was going to say, I got bullied, because nobody was really wanting to come up. When you go to the younger kids, they all want to talk. When you go to the high school or junior high, they're more, you know, there's like 600 kids in the auditorium. Nobody really wants to go up there.
No.
This kid walks up, and I thought he was, like, that was pretty cool that he's coming up there. And I thought he was going to say he got bullied. He said, I was a bully. And he goes, my friend David taught me how to not be a bully. And his friend David waves in the audience, and I'm like, holy cow, man, you just taught me something today. I go, well, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Right.
You know, because I went through a part of my life in my 20s and 30s where I was angry. I was angry, man.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy. I was angry. And now I suffer. I get depressed. Don't get me wrong. But there was a time when I was angry, and I was angry for getting taken advantage of. I was angry for getting beat up, and it stuck with me. And what does it do? It doesn't want you to, you don't want to open up and be happy because you're guarded.
Right.
At some point you say, okay, wait a minute. I'm human. I'm going to die one day anyways. So am I going to just keep being angry, or am I going to let this go?
Good for
you.
I talk
to a psychiatrist. I go to a psychiatrist. I talk. And when I was at my deepest point, I went every week. And I go to him all the time. He's fantastic.
Do you know when you're starting to hit a low, low?
And, oh, yeah.
What happens?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do? How do you get out of it?
There used to be, you know, for me, it was a lot of escapes. If it was food, if it was gambling, if it was whatever, you know, maybe sometimes drinking. And now you realize I lost 130 pounds. So what is doing it for me now is exercise and lifting weights. But the other thing is being in the present moment. This book, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, is such an amazing book.
Sure.
He actually talks about being the watcher of your own mind, the ego, which is the human mind, and having the inner spirit, you know, the inner body, being the watcher of your mind, the human mind. Because our human mind is, we're all afraid. We're all afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We're all afraid. We're all imperfectly perfect. We're all screwed up. We all got our problems, man.
Some more than others, like me.
Like me. I got a ton of them. I got a ton of problems. I'm just, you know, I get in my own head and forget it. Forget it.
I think a lot of us are like that.
And you know what the problem is? We beat up ourselves. We beat up ourselves. And that's why I say, if we look at each other and we just say, we're all in this together. Because in reality, all these people that are walking on Michigan Avenue, you really want to get down to the nitty gritty. We all came from the same person. All the way down the line in history, we started somewhere.
Sure.
So in actuality, right. we're all connected.
Right.
We're all connected.
I got to tell you, you're one of my favorite people. You're always, every time I see you, you're always so positive and just warm and just inviting to talk to. And I thought we'd talk a little sports here. Yeah. I didn't think we'd get so deep. I love this.
Well, thank you.
This is what I love about talking to you, because you're such a deep person. People know you as the guy that sings.
Yeah.
Yes. But this is good. You're helping people.
Well, it helps me because, like I said, I struggle. Man, I struggle. I get dark. And when I get dark, you know, a lot of times I see Robin Williams, and I'm like, man,
yeah.
I see the connection. I was watching The Birdcage today, and he was making me laugh. And I'm like, how the blank did he, you know, do it? Why did he give up? And then I'm looking at Mrs. Doubtfire, and I'm laughing, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then I read something. I looked him up today, and it said, you know, the people that want to make other people laugh are the ones that are struggling the most.
Right.
Because we know how bad it hurts. So what do
the
we
sad
do?
Clown. That's
yeah,
what they
the
say.
Sad clown, you know.
And I mean, there's so many comedians. You got Jim Carrey, who suffers from anxiety and manic depression.
Yeah.
Robin Williams.
One of my favorite, Chris Farley.
Farley, yeah.
I loved Chris Farley.
Everybody loved Farley.
You know, Farley, yeah, everybody loved Farley, right?
Right? Yeah.
And he was his own worst enemy. He's like, you know, and I read something, I don't know if it's true or not, about him having OCD. And I'm like, I'm wondering if that was true. And it was like, if he stopped doing drugs, he would then like be eating 5 hot dogs. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, that's me.
Right.
Except if it, not with the drugs, it was, you know, gambling. Or then I'd go to my food or whatever. And I'm searching for that escape because I'm going to numb myself.
I think a lot of us, we have that dark time. I know I do, especially lately. I feel like I've been there.
Why?
And just, you know, it's just life, and you're running through life, and, you know, I'm married. I have a wonderful wife, but if I don't connect with her, it's like, what am I doing? I'm just going through the motions. Well, and you get down on yourself.
That's when we got to get right
That's
now.
When you got to tell yourself, hey, I need to reconnect with my wife. I got to get going and got to do this. And you got to keep moving.
That's when you tell yourself is that all I have is now.
Yeah.
Pete, all I have is now.
Right.
All I can do is right now, right?
John, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You do. When you're right. When you look at the past, either you're longing or you're regretting. When you look at the future, you're nervous. You're contemplating. You're getting like, oh my God! If you live right now, we're not guaranteed. Like, see, they asked the Dalai Lama, "What is the biggest tragedy of humanity?" He goes, "Man." And they go, "Why?" He goes, "He works all his life to make all this money, sacrificing his health.
Yep.
Then when he gets older, he uses all this money to recuperate his health.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he never really lives.
Right?
Right? I'm always thinking about, am I going to make it? What's the next thing I could do? Oh my God! Okay, can I do this with a song? Can I get it to the next step? Instead of saying, I'm right here right now. I'm in WGN studio. I'm talking to a great guy. It's beautiful. I'm seeing people walk, a lady smiling right now. We're waving to them. And we're here right now. That's
live,
it.
Live in
we,
the moment.
We're not guaranteed. See, we think we're guaranteed.
Yes.
Moments. We think we're guaranteed the next day and the next day. None of us are.
I'll say one more thing before I take a break, because I have these things that I check in with myself, and I'll say it in my head. I won't say it out loud because I'm always anxious to get somewhere. Oh, you got to do this.
Yeah.
Like today, I was at my son's basketball tournament, but I was thinking about the show, and we went on early today because the Sox ended early. I'm like, God, I'm going to go on at 4:30. We only have material for 2 hours. I'm like, you know what? Just let it come to you.
Yeah.
Just talk about life.
Yeah.
And people started calling in, and here we are.
That's it.
You got to just let life come to you sometimes.
You do.
You do.
You do.
John Vincent in studio. When are you performing at Didkus?
Tonight. I'll be there.
All right. Tonight and Friday and Saturdays, right?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I will be there tonight. I go out of town Tuesday, but I should be there Thursday.
Okay.
But
most weekends, you're there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yes.
This is what we're going to do. We have SNL, the experience tickets to give away. We're going to give away a 4-pack of tickets.
Nice.
And what you're going to do, we wanted you to sing today.
Yeah.
So we're going to have you sing cartoon theme songs.
Okay.
We're going to get caller 7 on the line at 312-981-7200. Caller number 7. You'll win a 4-pack to the SNL experience at the Museum of Broadcast Communications if you correctly identify the 3 cartoon theme songs that John Vincent will sing coming up next on 720 WGN.